King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of February 11th, 2020. And this is officially episode number 424. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And yes, we are live right here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And if you're not here, well, you're not here and you can't hear. We're live here in the chat room as well. So come on over to ParanormalKing.com and join us live in the chat room. Lots of links, not too many pictures tonight, but generally I put out some extra credit stuff, I guess, for the big test that you have to take every night at the end of the show. But you wouldn't know that because you're not showing up. Just kidding. We don't, no tests. It's all relaxation here. We do have, the reason why I'm thinking that is tonight we have some numbers. I don't know if you like statistics or not, but I have quite a few numbers tonight, especially in the UFO arena. We've got MUFON sighting statistics for January, and I didn't do a prediction last month. I apologize, but I do have one ready for February, especially since Dita's here. So I want to make sure that I have to dot the I's, cross the T's, and be on my best behavior. And also, with statistics, we've got some interesting statistics related to disclosure. More on that tonight here on the Paranormal News Insider. Oh yeah, we've got some monster sightings. Bigfoot, Grassman. We got some Bigfoot stuff in unexpected places tonight. Not low places, that's my friends. They're in low places. Yeah, I hate to say it, but the Loch Ness Monster is back. Yeah, I'm going to talk about him, but don't worry, it'll be very, very brief. I just want to mention it. Yes, episode 424, I think I said that, pretty sure I did. Short-term memory problems tonight, but yeah, we're cruising right along. This is the fourth show of 2020. It seems like I guess I've taken a lot of time off. Apologize for that, but we're back. We're rolling here this week. Don't forget, you can get a hold of me through Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Instagram, but mostly Facebook and Twitter is where I spend my time on the socials. So Facebook / Paranews Insider and Twitter @ Paranews Insider. That's where I funnel all these links, all this information throughout the week. So if you want to stay intertwined with the latest and greatest paranormal news that's hitting the waves, is there waves out there? I'm sure there is on Loch Ness. Plenty of waves, and that's what they mistake for the monster. But you can stay current with what I do here on the show. I publish a link, pretty much a link a day. I don't go too crazy. I don't want to inundate you with too much. I know you already got a lot going on your Facebook page, all those groups that you belong to, all those posts. You know, I don't want to inundate you. So one a day, like your vitamins. I don't post too much. I don't like to inundate people. So I keep it simple. I keep it neat and organized, not too much for you. So, and the Facebook and Twitter are intertwined. They're a happy couple. It's all basically one post. So if you belong to one, you belong to both. Don't worry about it. I know people have their favorite. They like Facebook or they like Twitter. Maybe like Instagram. I don't know. I'm not a model, so I don't do Instagram. You got to be a model to be on Instagram, right? I think. I'm not sure. No, I do have an Instagram. I don't use it too much for the show. Every now and again, if I travel, I go to an event, I utilize Instagram. But beyond that, not too much. And not sure where you're listening to the show from. Hopefully you're listening to it live. I post this show after it appears live. You could be listening pretty much anywhere right now to the show live. But after the show goes off the air, about 9 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesdays. It's then put into Podbean. It goes to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spreaker. Let's see. I think Podcast Addict, Podchaser, TuneIn, a lot of other places. So hopefully I've hit your favorite place. I know we all have our favorite podcast site, station, whatever you want to call it. And hopefully I've got yours. If not, let me know and I'll do what I can do. I'll pay Eddie and the boys to pay somebody else a visit instead of Dita to make sure she's here each week. And we'll get your show on for you. And also stay tuned to the whole entire family here, Paranormal King Radio. Lots of great shows on here during the week. Same channel. Great shows. What else do I have? Thought I had something else. Speaking of, I didn't speak of it, so I'll speak of it now since I started to say that. ParanewsInsider.com is also the website. I guess I just saw it in the chat room there. Appreciate that. ParanewsInsider.com, keep it simple. Paranormal News Insider is just too much. So ParanewsInsider.com, much simpler to type. From that website, you can get a hold of me. There's a contact link. So if you have any information about something, you want to get a hold of me, you're bored, I don't know, you want me to appear to an event, I'd love to do that. Or you want me to put your event on the website, I can do that as well. I do have an events page. I'm pretty proud of it. I've added a few yesterday. I added a couple more, and I got some more work to do. There's a few more that updated, so I got I got a couple more to add. Stitcher. Yeah, I forgot about Stitcher. You're right. Stitcher. Let me type that in there so I don't forget. Stitcher. So I got some events I got to update. I did spend a little bit of time yesterday, like I said, updating the site for 2020. Pretty proud of those event links. And I really think you should get out there. Go to one of these events, paranormal conferences, conventions. I could check out that entire list at ParanewsInsider.com. And, find one in your area. I only do North American conferences, conventions. Don't get too many from Canada, but I've been to some in Canada, so that's why I do that. And not too many from Mexico. I don't know why. You get on board. Some Dia de los Muertos stuff would be fantastic. Check out the tab at the top that says events, and I want to let you know that a latest event added to the calendar. I got to expand my MUFON stuff. I get stuck here in PA and Ohio, but I forget I got listeners all over the place, so I've got to get in gear for that. So I do have one from the mighty Midwest, where the MUFON was born, really. The Mysteries of the Universe Conference 2020, taking place in Kansas City, Missouri. Covering all things UFO. Lots of different topics on UFOs, all sorts of things. It's all over the place, but it's good. It's good that way. It's taking place May 15th and the 16th, 2020. And the event is sponsored in part by Missouri MUFON. And Hawaii. I think there are some people in Hawaii. I have to check my statistics, but I do believe so. Got a lot of Russian fans, too. I don't know why. I love the show. Paranormal Team website. So I no longer really operate a ghost team, but I do have the remnants of the website. Actually, I turned my website into a kind of a help, self-help site. I guess it was a kind of a dream of mine that when I hung up my acronym from my ghost team, Ohio Paranormal Investigation Network, OPEN. You get it? OPEN. Anyway, when I hung up the acronym for my ghost group, but I wanted to pass on my knowledge, because one of those things I can't stand is when groups just fade away. They turn off the lights for good, turn off the flashlights for good. They just go away. All their information, all their data is gone. So I don't want that to happen with my group. So what I did was I turned it into a kind of a research thing for researchers and investigators, kind of a how-to website, but also wanted to help the clients out there as well, potential clients that need help. So it's kind of a dual website. It's two pages working as one. And the client side just tries to walk people through how to, how to kind of self-help thing, which is not completely recommended. But I do still operate that website. It's ghosthelp.net, which I threw in the chat room there. So ghosthelp.net is my ghost, former ghost group website, Ohio Paranormal Investigation Network, which is now just Ghost Help on there. Not an active ghost team, so don't go there for ghost help. Just read through it. It's good information. It's a little skeptical, but I think we got to be. Right? I think you got to be. And that whole spiel that came from a question in the chat room, so you're missing out. These great questions. So anyway, on to the news. That's what you're paying for. Wait, are you paying for this? I'm not paying for this. Hope you're not paying for this. Maybe you should be paying for this. That'd be great. Need some sponsors. That's what I'm trying to say. Cryptid news. The big news. This is it. Everybody, pay attention. Put down the spoon. Put down the fork. Put the earphones on. Put your hands over the headphones and listen in. Here it is. The big news. The Loch Ness Monster has been discovered. There it is. You heard it here first. Loch Ness Monster. It's official. The first sighting of 2020 is in the books, literally in the books. The sighting came from a live webcam. I mean, where else would it come from? Reality? No, a webcam near Urquhart Bay back on January 18th. The person who sent in the sighting was none other than, you got it, Ian O'Fadigan. Ian O'Fadigan is the winner. He's drawn the lucky numbers for 2020. He's the first sighting. Ian spells his name kind of funny. E-O-I-N. I guess that's pretty cool over in Scotland. I guess that's how you spell Ian over there. Ian's been a longtime Loch Ness Monster fan, researcher. He's had plenty of sightings of his own over the years. He's been watching the Loch for a long time. And the sighting, yes, has been officially added to the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register that is run by Gary Campbell. And, the reason why I built that up is Ian stated pretty much this is the best information. This is the best sighting. This proves it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Yes, Fadigan. I don't know if he's, I don't think he's big. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's official. It's in the books. First sighting of 2020. So last year, Ian had four sightings, all from the webcam, which added to the record 18 sightings on the register for 2019, which was the highest amount since 1983. Who's counting? Well, Gary Campbell's counting, apparently. There doesn't seem to be really much in the way of evidence of a creature in this video. Very hard to make out. It's just like your typical videos that look like they were shot from 5 miles away with a potato camera. I've seen clearer images of Bigfoot, pretty much. That's saying a lot right there. But there does seem to be something moving in the water. What it is, we don't know. There's really no detail, like I said, to make out just what could have been behind that movement. And of course, Ian states, quote, "There were no boats or birds to see at the time of the sighting," unquote. Of course, that's what they all say. No boats, no way a wave could have been made, no wind, it was still, no birds, nobody was breathing. The water was flat as glass. I mean, that's what everybody says. But of course, this does not mean that the Loch Ness Monster was responsible for that sighting. Could have been the wind. Could have been something. I don't know how you could have, with that horrible of a video, I'm not sure how you could tell there were no boats there. It was pretty bad. Pretty bad. So, congratulations, Nessie, on your first sighting of the year. We'll see. Maybe it'll be another record year. And Loch Ness Monster will make the top 10 paranormal news sightings of 2020. I'm not going to count them in yet. Long way to go for that. But yeah, the first sighting of the year. I'm excited. Not really. Let's see. All right. I'm going to throw that in the chat room. Careful. OK. careful. There it is. Yeah. Well, moving along, let's go to Bigfoot news for the week. A 52-year-old Deborah Hatswell has been dealing with the sighting of what she feels strongly was a Bigfoot since she was a teenager. She says, quote, "When I was 15, way back in 1982, I saw something that changed the course of my life and led me on the path I am still on today, almost 40 years later." Unquote. One would think this the sighting might have happened in the hills of California, maybe the woods of Washington, or maybe Oregon, or maybe even in the eastern United States. But no, none of those places, not even South Florida or Tampa, for that matter. Debbie resides in Greater Manchester, an area in northwest England, where her sighting occurred. She now leads a group called British Bigfoot Research to help bring together others in the United Kingdom who have had similar sightings and found no explanation for the part man, part ape that has been seen in various parts of the country. Debbie states, quote, "The creature reports are not what is important here. It's the people who see them, the effect it has on that person, and the limitations it puts on their life, the constant questions and worry that come with seeing something that, quote, does not exist," unquote, unquote, period. Got to get my punctuation in there. Debbie has spent the better part of 40 years researching Bigfoot sightings in the United Kingdom and has traced sightings in her area back to the 1960s. Those hippie Bigfoot, those hipsters. There have been 10 other cases of sightings in the park where she had her sighting. In the last 18 years, she's spoken with many witnesses and has grown her awareness group to contain members throughout England and also hosts a podcast to get the word out to hopefully get to the bottom of these sightings someday. I think one of the issues with the United Kingdom not getting much in the way of recognition, personally, I think it stems from the fact that here in the United States, we have Bigfoot, we have Sasquatch, you know, the staple names that generally are associated with the United States. There are also many other names used to describe more local legends of big bipedal creatures, such as the Fauk monster, Momo the monster, Skunk Ape, Grassman, and so on and so forth. In the United Kingdom, a lot of their cryptid sightings also have local names, especially their lake monsters, the Loch Ness monster. A lot of their big cat sightings all have their own individual names of generally like cities and municipalities where they're sighted, but you don't hear many names of the many sightings of bipedal ape-like sightings, creatures. You just don't hear that. They don't have those glamorous names that stick out that make headlines. Maybe that's what they need to do. Just my opinion. You know, and I think, unfortunately, when you say Bigfoot, people think of the Pacific Northwest. They don't think about England. Yeah, that's just what I think. That's what my opinion is, but I could be wrong because I'm not always right. Mostly am, usually am, but not always. Anyway, let me throw that link in the chat room. Hopefully it doesn't land on Dita's foot again. There you go. All right, and more Bigfoot news. So we're going from England to another country, pretty close by. So not to be outdone, photos have surfaced of potential Bigfoot tracks from Phoenix Park. No, not Arizona. Dublin, Ireland. So wow, we go from the United Kingdom, or really England, across over to Ireland. Kind of weird. A lot of stories over there. What's going on this week? Kind of weird. Loch Ness Monster, now Bigfoot. Wow, it just kind of dawned on me. Anyway, Phoenix Park, Dublin, Ireland. Footprints were discovered by an unnamed woman back on January 20th. She and a friend had been walking in the park when they noticed large footprints embedded in the grass on their walk back. The woman commented to the Daily Star, quote, "At first we thought it was a joke, but as we continued to walk further, There were footprints for about a quarter of a mile. This made us think that maybe this wasn't a joke, unquote. Do have some, well, I guess a picture of that. Well, I guess it's a composite, so there's a couple of pictures kind of together that I'll throw in the chat room gently. So here is a picture. Again, a composite. That there's a picture on the left, which shows a further distance shot of some of the tracks. Kind of hard to make out all the tracks there, but if you click on it there in the chat room, it'll get bigger. And then, of course, there on the right, there is the left hand of a female there on the ground next to what appears to be a large bipedal foot. Or is it a tractor? I don't know. I agree. When people don't put their name to this, and funny that you mentioned this. So, in the chat room, somebody says, you know, it's fake if they don't put their name on it. Well, that's going to come in later on tonight on another story. Well, actually, pretty soon here on a similar story. Yeah, I mean, some people want to be anonymous. Unfortunately, websites like the Daily Star, those British tabloids, when you put anything there, yeah, people make a little bit of money on it, but they go worldwide. So I would be careful, too. I wouldn't want my name on there. Exactly. They don't want to be harassed. They don't want people calling them up, trying to get interviews or talking to them. You know, some people just want to avoid that spotlight, but they just want to get things like this put out there. Now, whether or not this is a bipedal creature, I don't know. The tracks look interesting, but I don't really know the conditions of that ground. I don't know. It's hard to make out the footprints, the shape. You know, it would be, they missed a golden opportunity with this. So one of the best ways you can take photographs is in the early morning or in the evening, kind of like what they have there on the left, but they're kind of standing in the way. It's big shadows. Doesn't help because it really draws the print out a lot more. You can see the shape a lot better by the eye as well as on a camera. And the one there on the right is pretty much straight down. Not a lot of detail, even though it's close. I can almost see more detail of the far away pictures than I can the close-up pictures, based on the way that they're taken. So you don't know. I mean, who knows about this? But if you saw this area on a map, you would instantly doubt it as well. So the Irish Bigfoot Research Organization, or should I say organization, because it's spelled with an S instead of a... Anyway, commented that they had not heard of activity inside the Dublin area, but knew there had been activity in the surrounding areas. Just last month, other suspected Bigfoot tracks were photographed in snow in Palmerstown, Dublin, which is roughly about a mile away, but it's a mile west. So Phoenix Park is mostly meadows, and you can see that in the picture there on the left, mostly clearing. There's some trees there. Pretty far away, probably about a half mile or so, guessing. There are some small outcrops of trees, very little cover for a large bipedal creature. But, you know, here, even Ohio, we don't have that much cover, but we still get a lot of stories of people seeing creatures. The large urban area of Dublin is literally about a mile to the west of Phoenix Park. I think it's to the east. It's to the east. It's a mistype. Phoenix Park, although fallow deer congregate in the park area, so there is wildlife there. And, you know, a lot of people say that Bigfoot likes to snack on deer. Munch, munch. And the fallow deer, those dudes, they have bigger antlers than our white-tailed deer here in the United States, but they're generally a lot smaller than white-tails. They look prettier. But they're not as big. It's considered the largest enclosed public park in any capital city in Europe, according to its website. So I'm not sure the area is conducive to this kind of stuff, really. And it's one of the things I was taught early on is to find the address, that the sighting took place, go on Google Earth and kind of look at it from various angles and see if there's enough connectivity of large patches of trees or a network of forestry to connect this. You're not going to see Bigfoot walking down the street. Probably not going to happen. So, yeah, that sighting here, I highly doubt it. And especially pointed out in the chat room, somebody says it's odd that the prints are in a mowed area. So that mowed area, we have lots of places here in Ohio that are very similar in, I don't want to say prairie, but kind of meadow type areas where they do mow the area for hiking. And I'm pretty sure that's probably what that is. I don't see any signage, though, but it's probably a hiking area. I think when you look at Google Maps, you can see these areas mowed out for people to walk through. So probably just a pathway. But why would Bigfoot stick to the trails? Not sure. I don't think that that's a... I don't think that they do that, do they? I mean, it's not like it's going to hurt his feet. Anyway, I'll put the link to that in the chat room as well. And I think we got more Bigfoot stuff. Kind of making up for it. You know, we hadn't had very much in the way of Bigfoot stories in quite a while. And now, boom, all of a sudden, here he comes out of the woodwork. Of course, that's kind of how it happens. So, you know, I mentioned people not putting their names on stuff. Here in Ohio, you've probably seen this. This has been pretty big news. And what you didn't see there is my finger quotes in the air, big news. It's being big news because these two guys here in Ohio are trying to cash in on the popularity of Bigfoot. And I use the word, the phrase cash in for a reason. There's a video floating around that made its debut on YouTube back on February 2nd. And the two men who go by the names Nathan and Eric, well, it doesn't take too big of a genius to be able to go through their YouTube channel and find out. Nathan is Nathan Gray. And I never did dig up Eric's last name. I kind of gave up on that one. But they're trying to stay anonymous, which is a red flag. Generally a red flag, especially a red flag when they're pushing the story out. They're trying to get paid for it. They're pushing this out to news stations all over Cleveland, all over the place. They went on a channel. Well, I'll cover that here in a second. So they're really pushing the story. So I don't know why you'd want to stay anonymous when you're trying to get attention for it. They've not yet revealed their names publicly. They shot the video at Salt Fork State Park here in Ohio back on January 12th of this year. Salt Fork State Park is pretty much the central area, I guess, for Bigfoot sightings here in Ohio. I don't know about lately, but historically in the last 20 years, Salt Fork State Park is where they hold their several Bigfoot conferences here every year. Lauren Coleman travels from Maine, and some of the guys from Finding Bigfoot, they travel from Washington and Oregon out here to Ohio. It's a big deal. So there's, you know, a lot of Bigfoot sightings. Salt Fork State Park is kind of the epicenter to some of the sightings. They even have an area called Bigfoot Ridge, which is a primitive camp area that's named after Bigfoot. I've stayed there before. I've kayaked on Salt Fork Lake before. It's very big. It's just spread out, I guess. I love that area, and it's very famous for Bigfoot sightings, as well as deer all over the place. So they shot this 10-minute video back on January 12th. It's kind of like a little mini episode of something. I don't know what, their personal sighting. It's kind of like the ghost people do. They all try to make their own little TV shows, which is kind of like what they did. Wouldn't be surprised if they were trying to get their own show. Maybe that's the end-all be-all for this. I don't know. Just speculating at that comment, but it kind of seems that way to me. It includes the pair driving to and through the park. It looks like they're coming through the south entrance with the sign. There's aerial shots of a drone, sounds of purported Bigfoot howls, which the drone part, Makes me curious because I know they're very adamant about not allowing drones at Salt Fork. There are signs. There are threats pretty much. I think it's still, I don't know if it's still on the website, but I know they highly discourage it. It's a state park. You've got to get pretty much permission in writing because it's a state-run park. They said they got permission. Okay. That's not really coming to question. I question that if they actually had permission. There's a lot of sounds of purported Bigfoot howls in there, but not the actual video of where they recorded the howls, just sound over drone footage, which is kind of weird, as well as video of a bipedal creature walking around the woods while it snowed. And the amazing thing about that is it's clear. It's not fuzzy. It's not out of focus, which tells you right there it's fake. Right? Any video we know of Bigfoot has to be blurry, out of focus. That's just the way it is. So we know it's fake based on that. All right, I'm kidding. But it was a perfect day for filming a Bigfoot. Big, heavy snowflakes falling through thick trees, which is weird because I know the area that they were in, there was clearings all around them. So I don't know why they got Bigfoot trapped in the place with trees. But the pair didn't wait too long to get some attention for this. They reached out to Right This Minute viral video show and posted the video or had them post a video on that website, and they did a little episode of it. They weren't really convinced about it. It seemed pretty speculative. They didn't say they weren't completely dismissive, but they didn't sound very impressed by it. There was X-Files music to that, which is kind of weird. Usually that's reserved for UFO sightings, but okay. And they did push this out to local media. So all the media here in Cleveland is talking about this, covering it. And it's kind of seeping out to national media. It's kind of slowing down, I think, but it's still splashing around here in Ohio. Bigfoot's a big deal. People talk about it a lot. And I'm sure the story will be dragged through the mud throughout the year with the big events coming up later on this year. It's a decent video. It's shot really well. It's edited cleverly. It's kind of patchworked editing. They've gotten a lot of flack for that on their YouTube channel. The way it's edited, it's a little confusing. But, you know, really nothing in it really makes me think they have anything of value, really. One of the things that really hurts it is, to me, is how they react to comments on their YouTube channel. And their YouTube channel is called We Do It Outdoors. They do a lot of bashing of people who don't believe their video is legit. They're very defensive when people say it's a person in a suit or it's probably not what they think. They're very defensive. That's a red flag. They also claiming, they're saying it's not actually Bigfoot in the video. They're not saying it's actually Bigfoot. Despite what the video description and the title state, as well as how it's being marketed to the media, that's kind of confusing. It's conflicting. You're saying it's not, you don't think it's Bigfoot or you're not sure it's Bigfoot, but yet that's what you're calling it. You know, it's those kind of things. And pushing it to the media, trying to stay anonymous, trying to stay out of it. And also, if you read through the comments, they've also stated that somebody said, don't quit your day job. And they responded by, one of the gentlemen responded by saying that with this video, they may actually be able to quit their day jobs. Well, that's a huge red flag. So obviously they're trying for, they're trying to get attention. They're trying to get money. And their YouTube channel is heavily monetized. I think five advertising spots for the 10 minutes is quite excessive. So every time somebody watches that video, they're getting a decent chunk of change for a 10-minute watch of a video. All of these statements, in my opinion, it's me saying this, point toward fraudulent activity. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not impressed. I don't like it. I have my reasons for knowing that that area isn't as hot as what they think it is. And these are all the same things that a lot of other people have said and they've done that this pair, other people have been busted over the years saying the same things that this pair has been saying, reacting the same way on their YouTube channel. I mean, this is cookie cutter hoaxing, in my opinion. And I've been covering this stuff for a long, long time, even longer than the show. So to me, it just smells. And even if it's legit, where's the proof? Do they have tracks? Do they have other photographs? Do they have measurements to validate how big this person or this creature was? Yeah, I said person. It didn't walk like a Bigfoot. Didn't look like a Bigfoot. It never got anything close, despite a very nice zoom on this camera that they're using and really good technology. Probably one of the best cameras that's ever been out in the woods to find a Bigfoot. But yet nothing conclusive, nothing close. Nothing that didn't have branches in a way. It's just too perfect to evade detection of this creature. Carefully shot, carefully edited, like I said. You know, and they also say something else I missed, I forget now. But they said something like that. No one would dare dress up like that or face being shot. Well, January 12th would have been the last day of any sort of hunting, and it would have been, I'm pretty sure, game birds. So it wouldn't have been deer. Nobody should have been out that time of day with weaponry. So that's completely unfounded, especially coming from guys that do some hunting, because they have a hunting channel, they have a fishing channel with all their stuff. So they should know better. That statement's completely not true. That no one's gonna go into a state park and start shooting people. That would be very, very bad if you shot somebody in a state park out of hunting season. That would be bad. I don't know. That's just, I'm pretty strong about this. I really just don't feel that this is what they're claiming it is. And I don't think many people are either. I don't think a lot of people are buying this video. Again, the proof. You know, where's their evidence? Where's to really good shot video? You're pretty close to this creature. You should be able to get footprints, castings, if not even castings, some video of this. But they, again, deflection of this is occurring on their comment section. So what they're doing is they're telling people, hey, prove to me it's not real. That's not how it works. If you shoot a video and you're making a claim, that is up to you to prove, not for the audience to disprove. That's not how things work. That's a clever move that a lot of people do to try to dissuade people from arguing with you. And a lot of people that are doing hoaxes say the same exact thing. So a lot of things are stacked up against these guys. You know, I'm not saying I know they're hoaxing this. I know they're faking it. I just got a really good feeling based on all this stuff. It's probably not what they're saying it is or what they're leading people to believe it is. Would I want a Bigfoot running around Ohio? That would be fantastic if it was found here. That would be great. But I don't think so. I just don't think so. And I don't know. It seems like to me it's just an elaborate attention-getting scheme or a money-making scheme or both. I mean, really, of anywhere in Ohio, a pretty fair chance of that. But again, I have my sources. I have my information that would say, and I know where they're at too, because I've been all around that park. I've hunted, I've camped, I've kayaked, hiked. I didn't hunt. I never hunted. That's a lie. I didn't hunt, but I've hiked, camped, spent many, many weeks, weekends there, a couple of days during the week, a few times during the year. One of my favorite places to go there. I've hiked all those trails. I know the trails they were on. I know the area. Not as remote as what they're making it sound to be. So it's a big deal about nothing, in my opinion. But a lot of people really aren't buying this. The news is just pushing it out there because, well, it's news. Enough about that. We'll see what happens. I'm sure that's not the end of this story. It's a pretty big Bigfoot story. Big Bigfoot story. Anyway, let me put the headline here in the chat room so you guys can see that. I'll also post the YouTube video as well. I think it's in this link, though. But regardless, I'll also put that YouTube link in there so you can see that as well. And they also have a new updated video that talks about their it's a two-minute thing that they just basically copy the other newscast instead of just, you know, sharing the link of it. They copied it on their own YouTube channel. So that kind of tells you what they're up to. They're monetizing their own story from another source. Pretty sure that's not legal. But anyway, that's what's going on in the Bigfoot world. Now, UFOs, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, the biggest UFO research organization here in the United States, not the most well-liked UFO organization in the United States sometimes, and a lot of people don't trust them, don't believe in them. I know right now I'm currently not a member. I don't know if I'll ever renew my membership again. I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. I do support some of the things they do, just not the way they go about some of these things. And I think it's time for change with this organization if they want to continue to do things. I think they need to get with the times. I think there's some evolution that needs to happen. But anyway, I'm not here to chastise them. I'm here to report on their latest sighting statistics for the month of January. Now, last month, I wrapped up the 2019 total statistics in addition to covering the December sighting statistics. Apparently, I forgot to do my prediction for January. That's okay. That's okay. So, we get, let's see, the trend of the last 3 years. Well, we see the MUFON sighting statistics are slowly dropping. And they peaked out a few years ago because of the Hangar One television show, a very popular UFO TV show. And they've kind of been dropping ever since. So will we see that trend continue in 2019? Well, I can start to answer that for you. I can't necessarily completely answer it. It's only the first month. But January of 2019, looking back at last year, there was 598 total worldwide sightings with 391 in the United States. 2018, so 2 years ago, saw 690, almost 100 more total sightings than 2019, with 495 U.S. sightings. So a substantial drop in sightings last year compared to 2018. But that's not the whole story. We go back to 2017, and there was only 580 total sightings with 404 in the United States, which is more in line with 2019. Then we go back to 2016. We see 687 total sightings and 502 United States reports. So it seems like every other year has 600, around 600, and the next year has 700. It goes back and forth for total sightings and 400 1 year, 500 U.S. sightings back and forth. Kind of weird. Looking at the pattern, you might expect this year to trend high, but the if you take the average of those 4 years, 638 total sightings. 638. So the total for January of 2020 ended up being 628 total worldwide sightings. So honestly, this number is pretty much in line with what's to be expected. The second highest number of reports, total reports, comes from Canada with 43, followed by the United Kingdom with 34. Australia had 9 reports. Spain turned in 6, and Mexico and Ireland turned in 5 reports each. There was 36 other countries that turned in 3 or less reports, with 21 only turning in 1 report each. Get it together. So the United States numbers for January show a total of 468 sightings. Now, if we do the math, we look at the last 4 years, the average is 448. So the this is actually a little higher than average, what we would expect. So say a low of 391 and a high of 502 from last year and 2016. Respectively. So both totals are, wait a minute, am I reading that right? So total of 468, last 4 years show 448. Yep, so higher. So anyway, both totals are interesting how they're going different ways, but it's only 1 month. It's only 1 month. So we'll keep a lookout to see if this trend does continue as we move forward with 2020. Maybe I'm reading too far into these statistics. It's not really, you're not really getting a whole lot of, dare I say, useful data, all these numbers. But it's just interesting to see these numbers kind of ebb and tide. It's just really weird the last couple of years. So Looking at the U.S. sightings for the month of January, California, number one. Of course, they generally are 49. Florida was second with 39, followed by Texas with 34. New York had 33. Arizona, 24. Pennsylvania had 20 sightings. Colorado with 14. Michigan with 13. Washington and Wisconsin both with 12. Tennessee and Missouri had 11 each. Illinois and New Jersey with 10. Louisiana and Indiana had 9 reports each. Georgia, Ohio, Minnesota, Alabama, and North Carolina all had 8 reports each. Utah had 7. Nebraska, Maryland, Oregon, Virginia, New Mexico, and South Carolina had 6 each. And 21 other states had 5 or less reports, with 7 turning in just 1 report. Looking at the per capita numbers, I always like to start out in California, because that's the number one state in state population, as well as this month, as usual, is the number one state for sightings in the last for last month with 49. So this translates to a paltry 0.124 per capita. 0.124. So 12% of 100,000 people, thinking about it that way. Not a huge number. Anything that's a percentage of 100,000. Not a huge representation. Looking at other states in comparison, Wisconsin, which is number 20 in state population, with a 0.21 per capita with 12 sightings. Utah, number 30 in state population, 0.22 with 7 sightings. The state of Maine, with 40, they're 43rd in state population, way down there, 0.22 as well with 3 sightings. Hawaii, 41st in state population with a 0.28 per capita with 4 sightings. Montana, 44th in state population, 0.28 with 2 whopping sightings. Rhode Island, 45th in state population. We don't always see them appear in this lineup. 0.28 with their 3 sightings. New Hampshire, 42nd in state population, 0.29. with 4 sightings. Arizona, 14th in state population, 0.33, with 24 sightings. It's pretty impressive. And I want to make sure I put this in here before I get sidetracked. February predictions, here they are. Write these numbers down. February, I'm predicting 606. So 606 for total sightings, and I'm going to predict 435 here in the United States. That's the numbers. That's my prediction for February. And, you know, I just want to note that these numbers, I don't mean to be rude, but it really doesn't, they don't mean anything. They don't mean much, because these numbers are just what was turned in for the month of January. Doesn't mean these were UFO sightings that even happened in January, let alone that these were actually unidentified flying objects. These were just reports that were turned in to MUFON during the time frame of January. So some of these might have been older cases. They might have been 20 years old. Some cases might have happened in December that just weren't reported until January. So it's not hard, fast science here. This is just basic grazing of numbers. It's not really super serious. Super serious things here. So some of these states might have had a lot of sightings. Could have been explainable. Might have been a meteor. Could have been a lot of these satellite reports that we've seen from SpaceX. Could be, again, historical sightings just popping up. Could be fraud. Could be a whole lot of things popping in here. But I just, I like the numbers. I'm a numbers guy. Statistics don't lie. I don't know who said that. Somebody smart said that once. Statistics don't lie. So anyway, more numbers on UFOs. So last week I talked about the big news. In case you missed it, the United Kingdom is going to release its documents about their investigations into UFO phenomena. Yes, your favorite word when it comes to the UFO field, Disclosure. And that doesn't mean taking clothes off. Disclosure means releasing of information, which is what they plan to do. So this week, the market research website PippleSay, that's PippleSay, has released data about a poll concerning the topic of disclosure as well as UFOs. PippleSay polled 30,741 Americans to find out how they feel about the UK disclosure story and other topics related to aliens and UFOs. They also polled an additional 4,161 people in the United Kingdom to also measure their reaction to the story. And here's what they found out. 60% of Americans want the U.S. files to be declassified. When asked if they were excited that the U.K. was declassifying their reports, 50% reported yes. 34% said no. They said no, that it would create unnecessary madness, whatever that means. 16% answered, I don't care. That's pretty much what they said. I don't care. Buzz Killington's. Should America also declassify its UFO reports? Well, 61% said yes. 27% said no. And 12%, I don't care. Of those polled, 63% of millennials and Gen Xers want the U.S. to release their files. When asked if they thought the U.S. government was actively investigating, so still out there, still taking reports, but not of just UFOs, extraterrestrial life, 58% of people said yes, 25% said no, and 17% were not sure. Or maybe, I don't care. Do you believe in Area 51? I don't know what that means. Do you believe in it? It exists. So, yeah, I believe in it. Maybe they mean in the context of aliens. Dem aliens being there. Dem aliens. 39% of those polled said yes. They do conduct secret alien missions. I don't know what a secret alien mission is. Sounds exciting. 34% said no, it's just an aircraft testing ground. And 27%, I don't care. Or they weren't sure. Or they were just puzzled. They don't want to answer. They wanted to remain anonymous. They were also asked what they thought about UFOs. So 27% said they are real. 25% said they are misidentified objects. 9% said hoaxes. And 5% said delusions. And 34%, the majority, said, I don't care. Now, of those polled, 30% of millennials think UFOs are real, compared to 27% of Gen Zers. Never heard of Gen Zers. Is that the new people? Is that the young folk, 18 and over? I don't know. The last question was, have you personally witnessed any UFO sightings? 77% said no. 23% said, well, yes, maybe. I guess nobody didn't not care, I guess. So, of the 4,161 people polled in the United Kingdom, 60%, 60, are excited about the UFO files. That's exciting to hear that 60% of people are. 28% of people said no. It would create unnecessary madness. Well, get ready for the madness. 12% said, I don't care. Again, 50% yes, 34% no, and 16% that didn't care in the United States. Versus, again, 60% yes, 20% no, and 12% craziness. So fairly close, but UK people are a little bit more excited. United Kingdom, 70% of millennials and 60% of Gen Xers are excited about the release of the UFO files. When asked what they thought UFOs were, 30% said misidentified objects, 23% said real, 7% said hoaxes, 7% said delusions, and 33% said, I don't know, not sure. 30% of millennials think UFOs are real compared to 20% of Gen Zers. And have you personally witnessed a UFO? Well, 78% no. 22% yes, maybe. And do you believe in conspiracy theories that aliens exist and could be on Earth? 38% said no. 35% said yes. And 27%, well, they had no idea. They weren't sure, didn't care, or were probably aliens hiding here on Earth. So I'll give you that link to that poll in the chat room. And I got one quick story. Don't leave. Don't run off. One very important story about your favorite television star of all time. Favorite one to see on TV. Don't leave. Don't leave. Hold on. That link didn't work. Why did that link not work? Oh, I know why. Never mind. Let me fix that real quick. Bum, 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 bum. I got the music on. Bum, 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 bum. This is my link editing music in the background there. Oh, there it is. It worked. All right. So last story of the night, I promise. Kind of some sad news here. This is developing pretty quickly. Didn't see it happening this way. Didn't see it happening this way. So if you missed last week, I was talking about a little bit of controversy surrounding the Ghost Adventure star Zach Bagans. So Bagans published a new book back on November 25th of last year. He was in a hurry to get it published. The book is titled Ghost Hunting for Dummies. Kind of aptly named. And recently came under fire from Kenny Biddle, a Pennsylvania-based skeptic and a paranormal nerd. He's a good guy, though. He's a good guy. He does mean well. Very passionate about what he does. He's not anti-ghost. He's just anti-idiot, pretty much. Biddle, with the help of others, was able to find 38 examples of plagiarism within the book and at least 20 pages containing information taken directly from Troy Taylor. So you know Troy Taylor. Copyrighted material written by Troy Taylor. He has 130 books. That's what he said on the intranet. Biddle contacted a number of the affected authors as well as the parent company of the Dummies brands of books with the findings. A senior acquisitions editor at John Wiley & Sons contacted Biddle and stated they're adding source information and are updating the ebook and eventually the print book with these changes. Too little too late, my opinion personally. Not long after Biddle's initial blog entry was published on the Skeptical Inquirer, Troy Taylor released a statement that read in part, quote, "I would like to thank Zach Bagans for allowing me the opportunity to assist him in conducting research for this book, Ghost Hunting for Dummies." A blogger recently claimed that Zach's book contained certain material of mine that he did not have permission to use. This is not true. I work with Zach to publish this material, and as with countless other celebrity reference books, I agreed to serve as an uncredited researcher. This is a very common practice that in this case involved assisting Zach in the time-consuming process of gathering, compiling, and assimilating prior published research materials, including some of my own research and writings, and helping Zach incorporate them into his book. I take full blame for neglecting to appropriately attribute references to some of their sources, owing to the extremely tight deadline given to Zach to finish this book. I must emphasize that this was not in any way Zach's fault. It was completely mine, unquote. A lot of things wrong with that. Basically, taking the blame for this. Zach Bagans published the book under his own name, so he didn't have to get it pushed out by Christmas time. It could have taken his time. And it can't be Troy's fault because Zach's name's on the book. Anyway, unfortunately for Troy Taylor, again, I didn't see this coming. Troy Taylor. Kenny Biddle saved his prior conversation between the two of them. And when he had informed Taylor of that plagiarism through Facebook Messenger. So Taylor not only stated he was aware of Bagans using his work without attributing it to him, but he had already received a settlement for the issue. Settlement generally sounds like payment. So Taylor told Biddle via Facebook Messenger, quote, "I already knew about it, and this was a battle I actually won. I received a substantial payment for this. Whoever the ghostwriter was, and you know it wasn't him, used a ton of material, but I got a settlement from it and let it stand since the old guidebook is out of print. I don't do the investigation stuff anymore. Too silly," unquote. So with Taylor's latest public announcement, it seems there's more deception at hand beyond Bagans plagiarizing numerous other authors. And now, after some sort of settlement, Taylor is willing to accept the blame for not referencing material. So Biddle knew about all this before writing the initial article, but once Taylor came out and said something to the contrary, Biddle had promised not to talk about the settlement or anything. But once this came out and they pretty much directed it toward Kenny, the gloves were off. So this is when Kenny divulged this information, which so he did the right thing, I think. As Biddle points out, taking large amounts of others' work and putting it in your own work is wrong, even if you reference that work. It's still plagiarism. You can't just say, well, let me take 10 pages out of somebody's book and just put their name by it. That's not how it works. I mean, somebody who's written 130 books, hopefully they know that. It's not as if short quotes or parts of the idea were used. Again, passages, clearly copied and pasted. Sometimes a few words were changed here and there to purposely hide the fact that it was directly copied. It's going to be interesting to see how, if any of these other authors intend to react to this, or if they're getting substantial payments themselves, such as Joe Nickel, which I can't see him taking a payoff for this. George Norrie as well. Biddle reached out to Taylor after his message was shared by Zach Bagans. Biddle clarified that Taylor had told him Zach took his material, but now publicly states he was working with him from the start. Kind of confused. A few hours later, he followed up with asking if Taylor was admitting to plagiarizing the work of others, now that he states that he helped write the book. And after a week, there was still no reply. So this is what the dirty world of ghost hunting has evolved to. It's been about popularity and image for the last 20 years or so. And despite all the attention on writing books, television shows, new equipment, matching black t-shirts, I guess the focus is still on those involved in the field rather than anything discovered within it. Pretty sad state of affairs, if you ask me. And really, there hasn't been much to talk about in the development area at all anyway in the last 20 years. So sad state of affairs that we're going to with this direction. Book of the Week. So I read that. I'd like to get back in the Book of the Week. I'd like to do that. If you guys want to hear me talk about a Book of the Week, let me know. Remind me to do that. And I do want to wish everybody a very happy Valentine's Day. Watch out for Cupid, though. Watch out for Cupid. Anyway, I will see you next week. I'll be here again. Yes, I will. I promise. If all goes well, I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. But above all else, you know it. Don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.